Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and Jeff Kelm is joining me again today.
Jeff, hi, Dan.
How are you doing?
Good.
Oh,
very
that's good. Well, the hunting seasons are open.
That's right.
Deer and grouse and all those other critters.
And we're here.
And we're here, yeah, talking about it. All right. Did you do any, before we get into hunting, how about fishing? You been doing any good fishing?
I did get out fishing this last week. Went on a friend of mine, Adam and Bill Launer. They own a boat called Real Obsession.
Oh, I've seen
out
that.
Out of the Port of Sheboygan.
I've seen that boat, yeah.
And went out with them. We went 6 for 8 on Kings.
Ooh.
In about 130 feet of water or so. And there was no method to the madness.
Uh-huh.
It was crankbaits. It was flashers and flies.
Yep.
And spoons as well. So,
okay.
I mean, there was really no method to the madness. It was kind of funny. We had one. We had a crankbait on a dipsy, and some guy ended up cutting us off, so we ended up having to turn real sharp, and our lines got mixed around, and so we're untangling lines, and we've got this one running off to the left-hand side of the boat, and it's just far enough under the water. The dipsy's just underneath the water. It's not skipping on top, and we're standing around talking, and look over to that rod, and it's bent like crazy.
Nope.
And the crankbait had to be no more than 5 feet under the water. We're sitting at 130
yeah.
feet of water, and this little four-pound shaker is sitting
okay.
on the end of it. So
it was
a fun catch.
Yeah.
But, we went 6 for 8, so it was a pretty good day.
All right. Well, that's good to see that they must be hungry then if there's no pattern, if they're hitting everything.
Yeah, they're hitting just
fussing.
About anything. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And, we've seen some of the pier fishermen in Sheboygan as well catching them. So water temperature is still very warm. Even the downrigger balls, when they came up at the end of the day,
felt warm.
Yeah, they were
yeah.
warm, and they were sitting in 80 feet of water.
Wow.
So,
well,
yeah.
that'll change pretty soon, you know. I've been working on this Deer Hunt 2008 TV show that we do every year with
okay,
the DNR.
Sure. Yep.
And we've got a new segment that we're going to feature in this year's show. We're calling it You Asked For It.
Okay.
So we're putting the word out right now, in fact, to listeners who want to see a particular topic in this show. And you can call my phone number, and that number is 414-297-7554 if there's a topic you have in mind that you'd like to see on the show. Or you can go to the LakeLink page, that is lake-link.com/radio. And where it says there on the right-hand side, send us a message, you can click on that and send me an email message. And we'll take a look at those. We don't have a giveaway this week, but we have a giveaway winner from a couple weeks ago that we forgot to mention, the Glacier Gloves winner. The last winner of a pair of Glacier Gloves from Glacier Outdoor is Vern Frecht. And Vern, you probably know that by now. The folks from Glacier Gloves have gotten a hold of you. And we'll be doing some more giveaways in the weeks ahead, but we're taking a little break from that right now. And folks, do take the opportunity to go check out our page on LakeLink and send us a message if you'd like to suggest a topic for the Deer Hunt 2008 TV show coming up in November. And you know, Jeff, another thing I've been doing, I've been working with Ben Hobbins on this Lake Delton Fisheries Restoration Project.
Yeah, you've been working a lot on that, haven't you?
Boy, it has. I tell you what, it's kept us busy. We did a press conference a couple weeks ago. It's been in, it's been on TV. It's been in a lot of the newspapers. And my webmaster, Les Booth, who does my website, dansmalloutdoors.com, he now has a website up, and it's called RestoreLakeDeltonFisheries.com.
Okay.
It's a fabulous website. It has some pictures of the destruction that happened in
sure.
early June, you know, when the lake drained out into Lake Michigan. We are going to have the video of that terrible destruction where you actually see houses going downstream.
Sure, yep.
And that may or may not be on there yet, but it'll be up real soon.
Okay.
And the important thing, though, is we have a donation page where folks can go and actually contribute money to help restore the fishery and the habitat on Lake Delton.
Sure. Now, you were saying that people can donate and donate a crib, a fish crib.
Yeah, yeah. Adopt a crib. We
okay,
call it.
Okay. And or fingerlings and things of that nature.
Adopt a fingerling. You can pay for the restoration of one or more bass or bluegills or crappies or other fish. I think the DNR has money to stock walleyes and northern pike, which is good because they're expensive. You know, a fingerling northern, a fall fingerling, 3 or 4 inches long, it costs about $5 to raise and transport and stock that fish.
That one fish.
$5, you know, and a hungry bass will take that northern, three inch northern, and he's gone, you know.
Yep.
You can just see your money going ka-ching, ka-ching. So you have to really stock a lot more fish than you hope to have in the end.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
And so anyway, that site is up and running, and the nice thing about it is it's a PayPal site, so it's a safe click to pay
secure
or click
site,
to donate.
Sure.
The money goes directly to the PayPal account. It will be deposited directly in the account at Associated Bank. And none of us are taking any money for this project. It's all a pro bono program. We just feel that it's important to try to do something to help the fishery there and the folks at Lake Delton and in the Wisconsin Dells area, because they're not only their fishing, but their tourism industry just really suffered this past summer when they lost their water.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, that's what I've been doing, and you know, this weekend I'm heading up to Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota for a Great Lakes Outdoor Writers Conference, and we'll talk more about that next week. But we've got some interesting guests coming up in this show. We're going to talk with a good friend of mine, Jim Juntila, from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, get a fishing and hunting report from him, and we'll get a fishing report from Kenosha County from Michael Rita. He's an outdoors writer for the Kenosha News. And we'll go back up to Ashland, to Lake Superior, and hear what's going on up there with the hunting and fishing from Roger LePenter. And then a fellow I met a few weeks ago named Jordan Albert is going to talk to us about squirrel dogs. Now, that's an interesting topic.
I can't wait to hear about that.
I know
really
you're
fun.
A squirrel hunter, but you've never done it with squirrel dogs.
Never.
All right. Well, we'll learn all about that and more right after this.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad Soft Bait Brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus sporting clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clay system and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. In September, Milford Hills Hunt Club is open Wednesday and Thursday from 4 p.m. until dusk, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for both league and open shooting. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season starts October 1st for pheasants and chuckers. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at bachelor party outings of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com. Midwestern Shooter Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, or check them out online at mwshooters.com. While they last, save 25 to 30% on all the range guns that were used at the Great Outdoors Festival. Guns by Beretta, Stoger, Franke, Uberti, Smith & Wesson, and Ruger. And all hunting boots and all scent products are on sale now at 20% off until October 1st. Don't wait until just before gun deer season to make sure your deer rifle or shotgun are in shape and ready for the hunt.
Stop in today and let the experts at Midwestern Shooter Supply check it over. And if you need a new scope or other accessories, they've got plenty of choices at great prices. Visit Midwestern Shooter Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com. That's 920-269-4995 or mwshooters.com.
They got 6 points and 8 points. 10-pointers and 12 points with drop tabs and widespread.
Well, it's time for the Ashland Area Fishing and Hunting Report, brought to us by the Ashland County Tourism Council, on the web at visitashland.com. And Captain Roger LePenter of Anglers All in Ashland is joining us today. Raj, how are you?
I'm doing real good.
Oh, that's good. Say, everything's opening up there this weekend.
Yeah, things are going to get real busy now. It's when you wake up and can't decide what to do.
Yeah. Now,
that's a horrible problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a tough problem. That's, you know, fall is just, it's just too much going on. But bear season started now. It's been going since last week sometime. How's that going?
Things are looking good. We've registered, I would think about 10 bears so far. Some nice animals. We're seeing some little bigger bears this year than we saw last year.
Okay.
The hunters are becoming a little more selective.
Okay. And the bears were coming into bait, huh?
Correct. Yeah, it's been baiting, and even with all the berries we had in the woods, they're still hitting the bait real well.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Now, with the bow season and the grouse season opening this weekend, and fall turkey up there, too, what are people focusing on? Or are they just going in 100 directions?
Well, they're just trying to keep their sanity, I think. I'm serious when I say it's hard to decide what to do.
Oh, I know.
The bow hunters are getting all pumped up and ready to go. The grouse hunters are anxious because there's a good population of grouse in the area, and the fishing continues to be just really very good.
Now, have the bear hunters reported seeing deer?
Yes.
What are you hearing?
I'm hearing a lot of small deer. The bigger bucks, I'm just assuming they're still back into the forest quite a ways.
Okay.
There's so much traffic around the perimeters of everything, it's kind of pushed things back into the woods. I think we're going to find that with the grouse too. As the season opens, they're going to be back a little further off the trails.
Okay, well, that's good. It makes you get a little exercise to get your shooting.
Absolutely, yeah, it's good because there's lots of trails. They've closed off some new ones in the forest, and it should be really an interesting season.
Now, those trail closures, that means you can't take motorized vehicles.
Correct.
On them, right?
They're all walking trails are available, but no motorized vehicles.
Well, that's not bad, though. I mean, that's going to open up a lot of different places that have been bothered before and not so much now. So.
Exactly. Yep. And it's kind of aggravating when you go to the effort to walk in a mile or two and here comes some guy on his four-wheeler.
That's true.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah. And sometimes we've been on the other end of that, too, riding in ourselves to do something. But, how about the fall fishing? What's hot right now?
Everything. I mean, it continues to be good. It does. The bass are real good. The walleye fishing hasn't been bad. There's some big pike being caught. Trout and salmon they're starting to come to the surface early in the morning. So it's looking really good. There's even some nice fish in the streams right now for the fellas that like to chase those fall brown.
Okay. Now, we'll get a fall steelhead run, too, a little later, won't we?
Yeah, that's coming up real soon. Yeah. That's probably another week, 2 weeks away.
Okay. Well, good. Anything from the inland lakes?
Let's see. I was on the Pike Lake chain 3 days ago, and it fished extremely well for bass. We picked up a few walleyes, and the muskies have been showing up big time. We didn't see any monsters, but we saw quite a few fish in that 35 to 40 inch range.
Now, were you fishing muskies, or you were after the bass and the muskies just showed up?
We did both. We did both.
Okay.
The fall, I usually rig a little short wire leader on the fly rods, and even with the bass flies.
Now, a couple weeks ago, you guys got some very cold temperatures at night. Are you guys still experiencing that, or has it kind of been more in the norm of this time of the year?
It's been pretty cool. It's supposed to be in the 30s this evening, a matter of fact.
Oh, well.
It's really changing things fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little fall color?
It's just starting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just starting.
All right. Well, listen, I hope you keep your sanity this weekend and as the fall progresses.
Fortunately, I have trips all weekend, so my weekend's planned for me.
Yeah, okay, well, good. And then you don't have to flip the coin. But everybody else is out there thinking, oh, turkey, oh, grouse, oh, deer, oh, my, what am I going to do? So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have, and we're in the same boat with everybody else up there. So, well, listen, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Terrific. I should have a steelhead report for you.
All right, excellent, excellent. And if folks want to reach you, they can go to anglersallwisconsin.com or call you at 715-682-5754, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Roger.
You bet.
That was Captain Roger LePenter of Anglers All in Ashland, and this report was brought to us by the Ashland County Tourism Council on the web at visitashland.com.
Well, Dan, another episode of Outdoor Wisconsin coming up. What's on it this time?
Well, next week, Jeff, on the 18th of September, Judy is trapping beaver with Tom Wandrash. It's a two-part segment, and I think part one, they're setting the traps, and the week after, we'll see if they caught anything. And I'm actually up in Sawyer County for a two-part segment. This next week, I'll be looking at habitat management for grouse and elk on a nice big chunk of private land up there in Sawyer County with one of the landowners, Tom Dew. But we've got some events to talk about, don't we?
Lots of things going on at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse. They've got a meat processing, sausage making, and smoking workshop. That is Tuesday, this, September 16th, 6 to 8. Topics include meat grinders, the mixers, slicers, tenderizers. Workshop will also cover dehydrators, food savers, sausage stuffers, and smokers. They also have a tips and tactics for fall walleye seminar with Jason Schenker, Tuesday, September 23rd at 6:30 p.m. And also Tom Roper of the International Defensive Pistol Association will present a seminar on match shooting with the IDPA, including all you need to get started in this sport, October 4th at 2 p.m. If you want more information on the events at New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, you can call them at 262-641-2000 or visit the website www.sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the Rough Grouse Society has a number of banquets coming up. On the 16th of September, Detroit, Michigan has a banquet. And on the 18th, there's one in Marinette, Wisconsin. And in Wautoma, Wisconsin, there's a banquet on the 21st. And a banquet on the 24th in Marquette, Michigan. And the Milwaukee banquet is September 25th. And there's also a banquet in Wakefield and Ironwood, Michigan on the 25th. And one in Brainerd that same night, Brainerd, Minnesota. A lot of banquets. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org and click on the drop-down menu membership information and then on events and banquets. And be sure to check out the bargains on the rgstravel.org website. And you might want to enter the raffle for the Upland Bird Dream Hunt. All that on the Rough Grouse Society website. And Milford Hills Hunt Club has a junior shooting clinic on Sunday, September 28th. For information on that, you can log on to milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249.
Lots of hunting seasons open up this weekend.
That's
as
right.
Well. You might already be out in the field listening to us on one of those little earbud things,
there
right?
You go, yes.
Yeah.
Don't miss that deer.
Ruffed Grouse Zone A is open. Squirrel, wild turkey, and archery deer statewide open right now.
That's right. And we'll be right back with more after this. Hey, Joe. I said, oh, where you going with that gun in your hand?
And today might be the day my fishing dreams come true. And I break that state.
This next segment is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com. And Jeff, Midwestern Shooters had a big display up at the Wisconsin Sports Fest back in August.
Yeah.
And I was up there and talked to a lot of folks, and one of the fellows who stopped by our booth is Jordan Albert, and I've got him on the line. Jordan, how are you?
I'm fine.
Well, that's good. And Jordan, for folks who don't know him, is an avid outdoorsman, and he lives in Fond du Lac, but is originally from North Dakota. And I understand you're visiting family back in Fargo right now.
That's correct.
And you and I got into quite a conversation about squirrel hunting, of all things, and squirrel dogs. And I invited you to come on the show and talk to us about squirrel dogs. Now, squirrel season is opening this weekend here in Wisconsin, and hunting with dogs is legal, but it's not something a lot of people do, is it?
Not around Wisconsin. It's more popular down south, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've done a fair amount of that, from what I understand.
Sure. I'm entering into the hobby, let's say.
Uh-huh.
I only found out about it maybe 5 years ago from traveling down south a bit, and it's something that caught my attention and sounded really interesting, so I thought I'd get into it a little more.
Now, how do folks do it down south?
Typically, like, one would hunt raccoon with a dog.
Okay.
The dogs, well, basically any dog can do it, but there definitely are strains that work better than others, and they release one, two, or several, and they generally go out in front of the hunter a little bit, relying on their nose a lot, but also their eyes and ears, and when they catch the scent, sound, or sight of a squirrel, they run it up a tree and circle it a bit, which gives the hunter a shot, and when the squirrel, or if the squirrel jumps from limb to limb and tries to escape in the treetops, they do something that a lot of other dogs won't, and that's they will try to keep track of it visually and follow it, barking all the way, and kind of stay right on them.
Hmm. So the dogs are sitting there looking up into the treetops, and they're able to follow the squirrel.
Definitely. They typically, when they tree one, so to speak, they put their paws on the trunk like a coonhound would, and bay or bark or howl, and that generally gives this hunter the signal where one is located.
Wow.
Now, are they actually trained to come around to the other side of the tree? Because one of the techniques that that I've used successfully with two hunters is to send one hunter around a tree and have the other hunter just stand stationary, and that squirrel tries to avoid the moving hunter, and he comes right around to the side where you are. Do the dogs do that?
A good squirrel dog generally has enough intelligence to pick up on what the hunter wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're focused enough that they're going to always try to have visual contact with the quarry, which will mean they'll circle the tree automatically to see it. But when you, they'll see that it pleases you too, and they'll eventually just pretty much do what you want them to do. they're a pretty bright hunting dog.
So now, what breeds of dogs are we talking about?
Well, this is where it gets a little complicated. Squirrel dog is kind of a catch-all term. There are lots of dogs that will just do it. Gun dogs sometimes will make a good squirrel dog. But in the last couple of hundred years down south, there's definitely been strains that have been developed which work better than others. The rule of thumb is any dog that will do it that's over 35 pounds is called a cur or a mountain cur.
Mm-hmm.
Any dog under 35 pounds that does it is called a feist.
Hmm.
I would say I'm more interested in the feists. They typically hunt a little closer. Generally speaking, they have a lot of rat terrier blood in them. They're probably half rat terrier blood, and the balance is probably made up of gun dog and coonhound blood.
Mm-hmm.
But these can be first-time crosses, but a lot of families have a line that goes back several hundred years, and there's some families that are very known or very famous in the squirrel hunting world for their dogs.
Now, you put me onto this website, squirreldogcentral.com, and folks, this is a serious site, and as Jordan mentioned, there are, gosh, I didn't count them, but there must be dozens of different breeds of these curs and feists, I suppose, developed in different localities in Tennessee and Kentucky and other places where they use them.
That's correct, and it's people who are just more accustomed with the AKC and the dog shows, you know, they expect it to be one single breed, but this kind of is a whole different world. It's to say feist or cur is kind of like saying hound or terrier.
Mm-hmm.
Within feist, there's probably several types, and then within each type, there's many strains, and each family kind of developed their own recipe, so to speak, within the last 100 years or so. And they generally look similar, but you can tell by personality and hunting type that there's differences. Down south in the mountains where there's lots of climbing of hills and thick timber and you really don't want to lose the dog, they generally hunt a little closer and kind of have a poorer sense of smell and rely on their eyes and ears more, whereas on the flatter territories, say in Iowa, where I've met several breeders, they add a lot of nose.
and they venture out like a coon hound, probably an eighth to a quarter mile away.
Now, do these dogs breed true? I mean, these are not AKC recognized breeds, are they?
No, and at least in my opinion, I hope they never are.
Uh-huh.
They do breed true, but although there are fellows out there that kind of have a first cross recipe that they enjoy. There's one called the original Cajun Squirrel Dog that's simply a cross between a Kemmer family Mountain Cur and a Mullins family Feist. And you're looking at a cross. The Feist in question is about the size of a beagle. The Cur in question is probably the size of a yellow lab.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, surprisingly enough, the offspring breed rather true, and they all look generally the same.
Wow. Now, how do they train them?
See, a lot of it is innate.
Uh-huh.
There's something that the hardcore southern hunters call tree-mindedness, where I almost liken it to almost obsessive-compulsive disorder, where they just know there's something out there, and they know there's something in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just looking for it. And once the hunter lets them know what they're looking for, they just become obsessed with it. And they will follow it visually through the treetops. Many people say that their pug or shih tzu, you know, will tree squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably true. But generally speaking, when the first time the squirrel gets behind a limb or the trunk, they lose interest and they wander off. Whereas a good squirrel dog will not do that. They know it just didn't disappear in thin air, and they look until they find it again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, will these dogs hunt other animals too?
Again, that depends on the line or the family.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these fellows enter these squirrel hunting competitions where they get penalized for dogs going after non-target game,
uh-huh.
such as a raccoon or a possum.
Yeah.
So they generally have little interest in other game, or they're very easy to break from it, whereas there's other breeders, such as the two breeders I found in Iowa that I particularly like. They have no interest in competitions. They're completely hobby hunters, and they want a general-purpose hunting dog.
Mm-hmm.
They're both Feist breeders. Both dogs are a little bigger than a Shih Tzu, and they'll bay hogs, they'll flush pheasants, they'll tree cougars, as well as squirrels. They're just general all-around hunting dogs.
Wow. Now, you're thinking about doing some breeding or bringing some dogs here into Wisconsin, right?
Yes, I am. And I believe that it will take off. It's nothing I want to get into to make a fortune or even basically make money. I would like to introduce people to it when I move to Wisconsin, and keep in mind I love Wisconsin, but I found a lot of the hunting, the ducks and the deer, there's a lot of people out there. And being what I'm used to in North Dakota, I just felt like I was going to the mall at Christmas time. And when I discovered this sort of hunting, I found nobody that was into it, and I felt I could probably go out and enjoy a day's worth of hunting without ducking bullets, so to speak.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, okay. Well, this is just a fascinating topic to discover, as I did when you and I were talking, that there is not only several lines of squirrel dogs, but really a whole culture. I mean, Squirrel Dog Central, and then you talk about the competition. I mean, it seems that there's about as much interest in this as there is in field trialing of your bird dog breeds or your beagles on rabbits.
Oh, indeed, and some of these family names, some of these breeders that have, you know, have become infamous for their dogs. You get into the squirrel world, and you mentioned Mullins Family Feist, or even the fellow that I want to work with out of Iowa. His name is Stephen McAndrews. You mentioned McAndrews Feist down in Florida, and they'll know exactly. And if they want to strengthen their line by adding some McAndrews Feist, that's the first thing they mention on their website that you can typically find through a link at Squirrel Dog Central. It'll be right there in bold letters, you know, 1/4 McAndrews strain Feist. So
mm-hmm.
it's quite a subculture that, is every bit as intense as, say, bird dog hunting.
Well, it sounds like it. Well, Jordan, we appreciate your bringing this to our attention. And if you get some squirrel dogs here in Wisconsin, we'd like to know about it and perhaps hunt with you. It sounds like a lot of fun.
One meaningless little bit of trivia.
Sure.
Is the book Old Yeller was written in 1835.
Mm-hmm.
Give or take a year, and it was actually written about a family dog, which was an original Mountain Cur.
Huh.
In the movie, they used a yellow lab, but
mm-hmm.
There was no such thing until as a yellow lab until about 1890.
Sure.
So.
Well, how about that, folks? A literary classic is a squirrel dog book. How about that? Well, Jordan, thanks again.
Have a good day.
You betcha. You too. That segment was brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com.
Imagine a magnificent European-style lodge for your wedding or corporate retreat. Milford Hills Hunt Club can provide the perfect setting with its stunning architecture amidst beautiful Wisconsin scenery, complete with a full-service bar and catering, great rates, and a staff that's ready to pamper your guests from the time they arrive. For a class reunion, rehearsal, or any special event, call Milford Hills at 920-699-2249. W5670 French Road in Johnson Creek.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on lake-link.com, keyword radio. Hey, Judy, want to pull in ashore and get some lunch?
I don't know. I hate to leave the boat sitting here with all these expensive electronics on board.
Not a problem. Look, I've got a universal electronics lock from DuraSafe. It's a tough little inexpensive way to stop electronics thieves dead in the water.
That sounds cool. Hey, if you like that idea and want to know more, visit DuraSafeLocks.com today and check out the universal electronics lock.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
More luck of mine with me, a couple thousand bucks, and I'm thinking that'll be just about enough for me to do it all over again.
Well, Jeff, it's time for a fishing report.
All right.
And our fishing report, of course, is brought to us by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats. And this segment is also brought to you by Ironclad Lures, ushering in the soft bait revolution, on the web at ironcladlures.com. And we have a fellow outdoor communicator on the line with us, Michael Rita, who writes the Simple Man Fishing column for the Kenosha News. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Now, your column appears Saturday morning in the outdoor section, right?
Correct, every Saturday.
Okay, and you've got some readers who I imagine are also our listeners on WLIP 1050 AM, so they can cross-check the fishing reports that you give them with what they hear on our show.
Yeah, yep.
Well, tell us, how is the fishing down there in Kenosha County?
It's been probably one of the best bass summers that I and my fellow anglers have had out on Powers Lake. I've had the pictures up on my page, but the bass fishing's been phenomenal on Powers Lake, Lake Mary, Benedict Lake. Action like that I haven't seen. I mean, you had to go pretty deep in the lily pads a lot, and I use a canoe, but great action with the bass.
Wow, okay. Yeah, now these are small lakes, aren't they?
Yeah. The biggest lake we have is Lake Elizabeth out in Twin Lakes, and she's about 636 acres. But I fish lakes like Lake Benedict, which is 78 acres, mm-hmm. and it's just as productive. So, yeah, these are smaller lakes. You have to hit them early during this time of year because the traffic gets kind of crazy.
Now, a lot of these lakes, are they no motors allowed, or are these...
50 acres is what the DNR, if it's under 50, they you can't have a motor on it. And we have probably, I'd say, four or five out of, there's about 23, which that number kind of surprises people sometimes, in Kenosha County.
Mm-hmm.
23 lakes. I think about four or five of them are under that 50-acre rule.
Okay. All right. So otherwise, you can use a motor. And now you say the bass fishing is good. I understand you've been doing some catfishing as well.
Yep, absolutely. Was out on Tombow. Tombow Lake, which is borderline of Walworth in Kenosha County, which connects to Benedict Lake, which is known for its jumbo perch. And, yep, chicken livers and night crawlers at 1 o'clock in the morning underneath the new bridge out there.
Yeah. You're not eating the chicken livers, are you?
No, and don't forget the chicken livers in the house either or in the fridge.
Oh, yeah. They're as bad as a three-week-old night crawlers, aren't they?
That's some bad stuff. And you stick that chicken liver out in the warmest place you can find this time of year. Leave it out there for a few hours and let it get nice and stinky. And you know, 18, 20-inch catfish, good for eating. And there's some real big ones in there. I've seen them half the size of my canoe and sunning themselves, but those probably aren't what you're looking for to eat. So.
No. Okay. How about panfish?
Panfish is phenomenal. That's what I pretty much say my claim to fame is as a perch fisherman out on these lakes. You know, like I just mentioned, like Benedict, out here, you know, you can keep 25 panfish
mm-hmm.
as compared to, you know, like Michigan where you can keep only five
right.
perch and it's only during the season. The perch fishing has been phenomenal on lakes like Lake Montgomery in Bristol. And all you need, it's real simple equipment. I actually went through in a smaller diameter line this year, 1 pound diameter Power
mm-hmm.
Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little ice fishing jig and then you tip it with a small fathead, live or dead. And the action was very intense this year, and it's been pretty steady. So.
Uh huh. Okay. Crappies.
Crappies. I had a outing article 2 weeks ago. We went out to Rock Lake, which is another lake that's 150 acres, and basket of crappies in the middle of August was unbelievable.
Okay. Well, what are you writing about in this week's column, which is already out? If folks are listening.
This week will be the catfish outing that we had.
Uh-huh.
So. That'll be in there, and describing, you know, I get a little creative with my writing. It's not basically just a report. It's kind of an experience.
Well, great. Now, that's available online too, right?
That is available online, and if you just go to KenoshaNews.com, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to navigate your way if you'd like to find that online article.
All right. Well, we'll call you again and see how the fall fishing is going.
Give me a call anytime, guys.
Will
Thanks,
do,
Michael.
Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Michael Rita, outdoors writer for the Kenosha News. He writes Simple Man Fishing, and it appears in Saturday's outdoor section. And this fishing report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, and also by Ironclad Lures, ushering in the soft bait revolution on the web at ironcladlures.com. This next segment is brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife. On the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org, and also by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. And speaking of grouse and speaking of forest wildlife, we've got Mr. Jim Juntala, a bona fide youper from the Keweenaw Peninsula, who I think, Jim, you qualify as forest wildlife, don't you?
I do.
Now, you're not just a youper. You are an outdoor communicator like Jeff and I, and you write something called Woods, Water, and Worse for the Daily Mining Gazette in Houghton, don't you?
That's correct. The column comes out every Friday.
Okay, and what is this week's column about?
Well, we're getting into that fabulous time of the season, Dan, my particular personal favorite time of the year, where we've got bird hunting. You can carry a shotgun in the woods coming up here on the 15th now,
mm-hmm.
which you guys know all about.
Yep.
And then grouse are not only our partridge in the air, but the timber doodles start flying then, and it's the last 2 weeks of our brookie season as mm-hmm. far as the stream fishing goes.
Okay, so it's a little flip of the coin, whether it's brookies or birds, huh?
Well, no, I guess for people who are either or types, but I kind of like to do them both, and mm-hmm. I take a gun in the woods on fishing rods now.
All right. So how was the brookie fishing this year?
It was and is and continues to be hot.
Mm.
And I guess that's because we've got a little rain for a change. Usually, as you know, anywhere up here, you're an old Ashland kind of a guy, and
mm-hmm.
anywhere from along this north shore, from Duluth to the Sioux, our trout streams tend to run a little low this time of the year.
Yep.
This year we've been blessed with some rain and just some higher water tables in general, so that hasn't been the case for the first time in a decade, I'm going to say.
Well, that's great. That's great. Now, your column is also available online, isn't it?
It is. You can go to Mining Gazette, MiningGazette.com. Click on Outdoors. It's in there every Friday. It changes every Friday, and they do archive it for a while.
Okay, great. So talk about grouse a little bit. Your colors will be changing pretty soon if they haven't already started. And
they are.
Okay.
There's still a lot of green, but we've got we're ahead of last year. I'm going to say here, right here in town, which is unusual. You've got and when I say town, you know it's a very small town.
Right.
But there's a lot of bright red leaves already on the ground. A couple of trees within a block of my place here are absolutely bare already.
Hmm.
So we've got some really nice spot color out here already.
Well, that's good. And with those leaves starting to fall, you can see the grouse a little better.
Yes, very much so. As you know, it's pretty thick, you know, until later in the month, at the end of the month before the leaves do fall. And it's nice for a walk in the woods, but you really don't see anything because of the heavy foliage.
Right. Well, how are the grouse this year?
I think the counts are up, at least according to our my resources up here, the DNR office out of Michigan, out of Berga and Marquette, and this area, their drumming counts were up in the spring, which they pretty much use as what it's going to be like for the fall. And just the birds that I've seen out and about on four-wheeling and fishing during the summer and up until I saw two partridge yesterday just on a walk in the woods.
Okay. Well, how about the salmon? That's about this time of year that happens too, right?
We do. We get some pretty good action on the coho here in all of the Lake Superior tributaries, particularly on the north shore all the way from, say, Marquette, right around the peninsula over towards Ontonagon and where you're talking about over in Ironwood in the Hurley area there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Little Girls Point, Black River Harbor, the Big and Little Carp Rivers out in the Porcupine Mountains, Pinkerton Creek in the Porcupine Mountains, and anybody can look at a map, go online, and just take a look at any tributary flowing into the lake on the north coast of the UP up here is going to be taking a coho run anytime from now right through Thanksgiving time.
All right. Well, Jim, now you also write a monthly column for the Michigan Outdoor Times, don't you?
I do.
Okay, and how can folks see that online?
They can go online to, I think it's the alpinanews.com or maybe thealpinanews.com. I'm not sure which one, and click on Outdoors again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Jim, it's great talking with you, and we will catch up with you again maybe as fall winds down and as winter comes on.
Thanks for having me on, Dan. Always good to talk to you.
You bet. Take care now.
You too.
That was Jim Gentile, a bona fide youper from the Keweenaw Peninsula. Jim writes for the Mining Gazette and the Michigan Outdoor Times, and that segment was brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org, and also by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
Do you care enough to buy the best equipment? Unfortunately, what's desirable to you is desirable to thieves, too.
Introducing DuraSafe's trolling motor lock that fits all Minn Kota transom mount trolling motors.
It eliminates the hassle of removing and reattaching your motor whenever you pull into shore or while you sleep.
Visit DuraSafeLocks.com today to learn more about the DuraSafe trolling motor lock, inexpensive, lightweight protection for your valuable investment.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Cap Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Cap Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Cap Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
With the grass and the dirt and the gravel on me, going back to the well, going visit old friends, feed my soul with a blacktop in.
Well, Jeff, it's time for your favorite part of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Mealtime, the Camp Chef Cooking Corner, brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. And Cindy Overton is joining us again. Cindy of Black Pot Demos, how are things in Oshkosh today?
Things are really good. How are you guys today?
That's good. We're fine.
Hungry?
Yeah, we're hungry. And, you know, deer season opens this weekend, the bow season. I'll bet you've got a venison recipe somewhere in your files there.
No, I think we can come up with something. How about an apple juice venison roast?
Ooh. Oh,
yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, cool. You know, apples are kind of getting in season now, too.
Absolutely.
So. Well, for this one, you're going to take about a four-pound roast and about 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of ketchup, 2 sliced onions, 1 cup of apple juice, some salt and pepper, a little bit of prepared mustard, about 1/4 teaspoon is all.
Okay.
3 big sweet potatoes, and a pinch of thyme and basil.
All right.
So you got to take your 12-inch Dutch oven. You're going to cook the onions in the butter just until they're just starting to get tender. Set them aside. Then you're going to brown the roast in the rest of the butter. About 20 minutes or until it's nice and brown on all sides. Then you're going to pierce the whole roast with a fork.
Oh, why do you do that?
Well, that way when we pour all that apple juice and that good stuff in there, it's going to soak right into the meat.
Okay.
So you got to poke at it real good with the fork. Then you're going to add your apple juice, ketchup, salt, pepper, thyme, mustard, and basil. You're going to mix all that together and pour it right in with the meat. Top the meat with the rest of those onions and cover and cook it for about 2.5 hours.
Sounds good to me.
You betcha. When those 2.5 hours are up, then you're going to add your sliced sweet potatoes and cook it for another about 40 minutes.
Okay. Sounds delicious.
It.
Yes, very good. Well, folks who have a fresh venison roast ready to go, there's your recipe. Well, listen, Cindy, we've got to go here, but where are you going to be this weekend, 13th and 14th?
This weekend we're at Calvus Country Harbor right here in Oshkosh. You don't have to drive too far
very
for
good.
That one.
And next weekend?
Next weekend we are going to Central City, Iowa for the Midwest Dutch Oven Gathering.
Okay, and I understand you've got some interesting folks there at that, too. You got the Redneck Quartet and Bob Evans, the cow pieologist.
That's right.
Wow.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, and Cousin Rick Black, who wrote Grilling Like a Villain. That sounds like quite the party.
It's going to be quite the party, and you know what? Anybody can come and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, and folks who want to know where Cindy is on a given weekend, you go to blackpotdemos.com, and you can find her schedule. We'll catch up with you in a couple weeks, Cindy.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Cindy Overton of Black Pot Demos with the Camp Chef Cooking Corner, brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com. Join us again next week, folks. You've been listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
Go dry. In the coffee can, honey.